Well, hey, welcome to Crosspoint. Welcome to week number 6 of the 49-day challenge. Anybody enjoy this 49-day challenge out there? Anybody, whether you're joining us at home, you know, my name is Chris, one of the pastors here at Crosspoint. Man, I am so excited to be here. So excited to be joining you here tonight, because today what we're choosing to do is we're choosing to finish strong. Because here's what I know. And really, we all know this. It doesn't matter how you start. What matters is how you finish. Any Colts fans in the room? Any Colts fans joining us at home? Yeah. Remember last week? They're up 14-0, right? I mean, it felt good. It felt really good. We're you know, I'm watching the game. I'm like, man, they're going to walk away with this. You know, they are getting after it. I mean, 2 touchdowns. Michael Pittman Jr. is looking like a stud. Well, and then overtime happened, right? I mean, then they lose 34-31. You see, it doesn't matter how you start. It's all about how you finish. And maybe they'll do a little better this weekend. Who knows? With the 49-day challenge, it's been all about engaging, about digging deeper, maybe than you even thought that you were capable of getting. Maybe you've taken some challenge cards over the last 6 weeks, and they've pushed you outside of your comfort zone. They've helped you walk into a conversation that you would have never had without that challenge card. And maybe your small group, your home team environment, like Scott's talking about, has brought up conversations that have brought about growth in you that you've never seen in years. You see, that is what the 49-day challenge is all about, because you can see the growth in those moments. You can look back on these last 6 weeks and smile, because you can see the opportunities in the moments that you trusted, that you took a step in faith, knowing that God was going to meet you in the midst of it. And so that's what we're going after here today. We're going to talk about finishing strong. But before we get there, I want you to pray with me. Let's pray. God, thank you for this evening. God, thank you for everyone joining us, both here in the room, the hundreds of people joining us this weekend online. God, I pray that this last 6 weeks has truly been about transformation. God, I know I've heard story after story of the things that you've been doing in people's lives, God. And so I just pray that this just wouldn't be 6 weeks, that we would finish through this finish line and then continue on, that this would just be the starting point of the rest of our lives, God. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Now here's the thing. And we all know this, right? A lot of people start things, right? Anybody started a diet plan in the last, you know, 6 months, year? Anybody? Yeah, the quarantine 15, like, got you. You're like, all right, I got to get back on the wagon. So started a diet plan, started maybe a workout plan. Maybe it was financial goals or continuing education. Honestly, personally, I would throw house projects on there. I don't know if anyone out there is like me, you know, joining us online right now. I don't know if you're like me, because I love to start a project. Man, I'm all fired up. I'm ready to go. You know, I've got all the tools I think that I need in the moment. And then, you know, a week later, it's like, yeah, I still don't really know how to fix that. I'm gonna have to call my dad, because that's my resident, you know, contractor. You just call your dad, right? I mean, that's just what you do. You see, that's me. I would throw that onto the list. Like, house projects are one where it's like, man, I'm all for it to start, but, you know, then 2-year-old in our house happens, and, you know, there's always something else, right? I mean, but I want to ask you again, will you be a finisher? You see, we can all choose to be a finisher and not just let this simply be a 6-week challenge, you know, 49 days that you took on and said, you know what, all right, I'll do that. But no, let this actually be a moment of life change for the rest of your life. You see, over the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about things from the way that we play. You know, remember the beach balls and Justin Timberlake, and we're, you know, tossing these around and having a blast in here. Or you know, if you remember, we had a hog up here. You guys remember the Harley Davidson, and we had the lounge chair. And really, what we were talking about is that you can communicate with God wherever you are. Wherever you are, it doesn't just have to be in this moment of prayer posture in your prayer closet or anything like that. No, you can communicate with God at any moment. Or it was learning, it was digging in, it was studying, it was taking those challenge cards, making moments, making notes in your journal, and spending some time really learning more and more. Or training. I mean, you guys remember we were talking about training. You know, we're hitting the weights a little bit, just doing a little weightlifting. You know, doing some challenges that pushed us outside our comfort zone, pushed us outside where we thought we were capable of going. So we were training, and then just this last week, you know, we talked about serving. We talked about Jesus washing his disciples' feet, and we talked about the surrender in that moment. We've dug in with our home teams. We've asked the hard questions. We've opened up. We've been challenged. We've given you really all of the tools that you need to finish. But will you choose to use them? Do you have the motivation to finish strong? And the cool part about this question is that the motivation, it comes from, honestly, it comes from a bit of an unlikely source. There's a guy named Blaise Pascal. He's, you know, like a 1600s mathematician, theologian. He actually says this. He says, "All men seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end." And honestly, if we can really dig down to what these last 6 weeks have all been about, really, what these last 6 weeks have been for, it's all about happiness. It's really all about joy. Because here's the truth that I've come to know, that many of you have come to know, that true joy, true happiness is the fuel that comes from a life-giving relationship with Jesus. Check out what one of the men who traveled with Jesus, check out what he records in his letter. This is John 15. It says this. This is Jesus. He said, "I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy." Yes, that your joy will overflow. You see, abiding and remaining in him, this is the path. This is the path to true joy. And so from one runner to another, if you've taken part in these 49-day challenge, if this 6 weeks has been an important thing in your journey, I want to give you the encouragement today to finish strong. And one way, maybe the best way to do this well, is to run hard after joy. To run hard after joy. See, Paul, you know, Paul, I don't know if you know a little bit about Paul. He's one of our favorite guys around here because he went from hating Jesus' followers to being one of like Jesus' biggest advocates. And he's writing about Jesus. He's writing to his people in the church in Colossae, which is this place in the Middle East. And he's writing this letter to him. He says this. He says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." You see, the role that Jesus now plays in our lives is one of rooting us, as we see in this passage. It's not about this discipline. It's not about an intellectual prowess that you can hold over top of others. No, no, no. It's about an overflow of joy that comes from a life-giving relationship with Jesus. It's about this overflow of joy that allows you to impact your neighbors, that allows you to impact the community around you with joy. And so today, as we're wrapping up this 49-day challenge, as we're bringing this all to a close, you know, kind of coming to a head here, I want to give you three things that I think can help you continue this challenge. Not let it just be, you know, 7 weeks here in the fall of 2021, but truly a moment of life change that you'll continue to use from here on out. So the very first one is this. It's to run hard after joy. To run hard after joy. Can I just say to you, just don't stop there. Keep running. Be built up, like it says in Paul's letter to this church in Colossae. Be built up. Being built up, this means complete. This means being mature, being strong in your faith. And really, in the original text, when you read this in the original text, it's typically when you see those words, you know, mature, built up, strong, complete. Typically, what they were talking about was like a rabbi. I mean, one who followed closely to God, who walked with God, who seemed to really have it all together, who knew what their next step should be. I mean, that was typically who they were talking about when they used these words like built up and mature and strong. But there was also another group of people that they used when they were talking about this, and it was parents. It was parents. And I am a parent now. And to be honest, when I read that this week, I'm like digging in. I'm like, man, I don't know that I feel that. Because I've got a 2-year-old who decided she doesn't take naps this week. And it was like, I have no idea. Any answers? I have absolutely no idea. I don't feel complete right now. I don't feel strong. I don't feel confident. I have no idea what to do. But in the original text, it talks about rabbis and often it talks about parents. Because parents, what's your job? It's to build up your children, to encourage, to equip, to challenge, to help make them mature and strong and complete. And so therefore, you're a part of that process. You're part of that process. You're building up your children. It's this growing process. But in our language today, you know, we read that and, you know, I see that and I'm like, I don't know about rabbis. Like, I don't know about parents. When I read that today, when I see this group of words like complete and mature and strong and ready for anything, you know, the people that are like, oh, we've got all the answers. We know exactly what to do. You see, in our language today, you know what we call that? We call that teenagers, right? I mean, we call that teenagers. I mean, they're complete, they're mature, they're strong, they've got all the answers, they know exactly what to do. And teenagers, that's not, I mean, if, you know, you're joining us in the room, watching us online right now, maybe your parents are watching this, you're like making breakfast, I don't know what you're doing. You might have heard that and thought like, all right, Chris is out, like I'm done with that guy. Hey, listen, the only reason I say that is because I was one of you. And all the people in the room, all the people watching online, I mean, you were there too, right? Do you remember being a teenager? Do you remember how much you thought you knew? Do you remember walking in thinking like, all right, mom, listen, look, I've got a part-time job. I mean, I've got this hoopty car in the driveway that you bought. And I've got, you know, I've got the Letterman jacket. I've got the girlfriend. I've got like a, you know, 2.9 GPA. I got an 1160 on the SAT. Who knows if that's a good score? I have no idea how they do scoring anymore, to be honest with you. But you're like, all right, I've got it all together, mom. Like, dad, hey, it's cool. Like, man, I could take care of that. Yeah, we're good. We are good. You see, teenagers, we've been there. We've all been there in those moments. But as teenagers, we all have someone in our corner. We have someone in our corner to help, to keep us grounded, to help us see that maybe we aren't as complete as we think we are, that maybe we aren't as mature, as strong. We don't have all the answers that maybe we think we have. And those are called mothers, right? Anybody agree with me out there? Like, those are called mothers. That's what a mom is for. You see, my mom, she was never afraid to call me out. She was never afraid, cut me down in those moments where I thought, man, I'm good to go, mom. I don't need this. I'm good. You know, she was always really quick to remind me that truly she brought me into this world and she was not afraid to take me out of it. And you see, in those moments, I'm thinking, mom, listen, hey, I've got the job. Like, I've got the car. And she's like, yeah, I bought the car. That's my car. I gave you the car. You have the opportunity to drive my car. And so curfew, it's not a guideline. Curfew is a rule of life. And see, that's what moms are for. And here's the thing about maturity. You see, I want us to create a new picture of maturity today. That maturity is someone who continues to receive. The maturity is someone who continues to be strengthened in their relationships. And the evidence of this completeness, the evidence is this maturity. It's not intellectual prowess. It's not thinking high and mighty of yourself. It's shown in your joy. You see, joy is the only lasting motivation for us to finish strong. And the people who do this best are the ones who have learned to truly embrace the hurdles in life, the ones who've looked at the obstacles in their path, the ones who've looked at the difficulties, the things ahead of them, and decided to forge on anyway. Because the truth is, finishing strong, it doesn't come without its obstacles, without its challenges. No, honestly, not at all. And so the second thing that I think we need to do in order to finish strong, to continue, to make this a part of our everyday life as we go, is to learn to embrace the hurdles. You see, we were never promised an easygoing life with no difficulties, were we? It's actually the exact opposite. Jesus himself, he tells us this. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. You see, we're promised that challenges are coming. We're promised that difficulties are coming around the corner, that obstacles will be put in our path. But we have to choose that even in the midst of that, that we have the choice to push on, to finish strong. And honestly, I think one of the best things that we can all learn is that hitting the wall, that running into challenges, that getting stuck, maybe dealing with difficulties in your life, suffering, having doubts, that these are not separate from the process, but they're actually all a part of the process. They're not separate. They're a big piece of actually walking through it and coming out on the other side better and stronger and more capable and more mature in those moments. They're not separate. They're actually just a part of it. James, he actually writes about this. And if you don't know James, you see, James, he writes in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. James is actually the literal brother of Jesus. So anytime I think about James, I just have to pause. Like, I've got an older brother. And some of you, are you joining us online, you're watching right here, you've got an older brother, right? I mean, you know what it's like to have an older brother. But can you imagine your older brother being like the literal Son of God? And then at some point, realizing like, oh, yeah, you're not, whatever, man, I don't buy it, whatever. And then something happens, and you turn about face, and you're like, oh my gosh, you really are who you say you are. You see, James, he actually writes exactly about this. Check out what James has to say. He says, consider it pure joy. There's our word again. Pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials. Again, it's coming. It's going to happen whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, it produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There's our word, joy, pure joy. Trials, they're going to come. Challenges, they're going to happen. I mean, there's no question about it. There's going to be obstacles in the midst of it. And for me, you know, actually, even just in these last, 49 days of this challenge, trials have come. Moments of hitting the wall have happened. And I'm sure, if you're joining us right now, you would agree with me that at some point in these last, 49 days, some obstacle, some difficulty, some trial, some, you've had a moment where you've hit the wall and you've had to decide, am I going to get up or am I just going to let this continue to press on over top of me? You see, for me, I've walked through that in these last, 6 weeks or so. You see, here's what I know. That's life. I mean, that's life. I haven't lived a long time, but I've lived long enough to know that's life. It comes with the journey. It comes with the challenges that those moments are going to come. And it's truly all about how we decide to push on. And it's in those moments of challenges and struggles, really over the last, several weeks, that I'd love to say that I was considering it all pure joy, like James talks about. Man, I'd love to say like, okay, we're good. Like, I can take this on. This is good. This is an opportunity for joy. God, you're growing me. You're maturing me. But to be honest with you, man, it wasn't always like that. I wasn't always just looking for an opportunity for God to work in the midst of it. No, to be honest with you, I've moped around a bit. I've been frustrated. I've felt helpless at times. I felt worn out. Felt a little bit, honestly, like a failure. You see, over the past few weeks, we've begun to wrestle with what's the next season for Crosspoint Westfield. And if you don't know, my name's Chris, one of the pastors here, the pastor of this new campus we're starting in Westfield. And to be honest with you, it's not something that just kind of came with no warning. And as many of you probably have seen, we are in a continued effort to help re-engage and reconnect people here at Crosspoint, our community as a whole. And because of this, honestly, at times we've seen lighter traction than we expected. Lighter traction than we had hoped for. And our goal of launching our first preview service for Christmas Eve this year, it continued to look as if it might be a bit of a stretch. And so just this past week, actually, we came to the conclusion that it was the right call to move forward with a bit of an audible, a bit of a change of plans, not stopping completely, no, not by any means, but a shift, an audible, like I want to call it. And so actually, just within the past few weeks, we've come to the conclusion that it'd be the right move to move forward with more of a Christmas Eve event for the community than to pull off an entire preview service. We've realized that we don't have the manpower yet to pull off the level of service that we hope to have for our community in Westfield. And now, I know for some of you, this might sound like a, like, so what? I mean, Chris, look around. look around you. Look at the world around you, man. Like, everybody's having these struggles. Everybody's having these moments where it's like, we don't know where to go. We can't get people to apply for a job, let alone fill the role. I mean, places are having to close. I mean, Chris, the world around you, it looks different than 2 years ago. And I would agree with you 100%. But this is also something that our team has been working towards for 3 years now. We, along with, you know, many others on our team, have actually moved to Westfield. We moved to Westfield to be a part of launching this new Crosspoint Westfield campus. It's something that many of you have supported, have prayed for, have jumped on board to be a part of the launch team. And if that's you, man, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for that. And know that we're not done. We're not stopping. We're just pushing pause and making an adjustment and calling it audible. But it's not stopping. It's not ending there. But we've had to really adjust our thinking. It's something that we know is absolutely needed in our community. So the timeline just looks a little different. So we've decided to adjust, to call an audible, to see the obstacles and the challenges in front of us as truly opportunities for us to adjust and to push forward to the finish line. There's this leader that I like to follow. I like to listen to him all the time. He's a pastor. He's a theologian, author. His name's Andy Stanley. He actually talked about this just recently. And he shared, you know, over the last 18 months that as a leader, you know, he leads a church in Atlanta. He leads some different organizations with thousands of people, hundreds of employees. And he said, as a leader, he said, the leader who refuses to revise their plan rarely reaches their destination. And I don't know what plans you've had to revise this past year. I'm sure you've had some. I'm sure there have been moments in maybe your business or in your family or in your community, wherever it might be, where you've had to pause. You've had to revise your plans. You've had to call an audible and make an adjustment. And we're right there in the midst of it here at Crosspoint. So we've adjusted our plans. We've adjusted our plans to connect with our community in a way that we weren't going to do before. And honestly, in a way that I think I'm even more excited about, because this is going to be an opportunity for us to truly bless our community with something that they would love to come and be a part of, rather than just a church service. Because quite honestly, Crosspoint's all about doing things outside of the box, looking for different ways to connect with people. And so that's what we're going to be doing in Westfield this year, connecting with our community at large. And this will also be a way for our launch team to really take charge and to invite their friends and their neighbors, their coworkers to a night of Crosspoint-sponsored fun in the community of Westfield. It's going to give our team an opportunity for additional development and to broaden our base in the community as a whole. And now, I don't say all of this for you to feel bad for me. No, not by any means, not by any means. But I do say this because we're continuing to build forward. We're seeing the obstacles in our path. We're seeing the changes that need to be made, the adjustments that need to happen. And we're calling that audible needed. We're making the adjustments we need to do because we see that our campus in Westfield can be that flag planted on the horizon that we can continue to push towards, that we can continue to chase after. I say this as a reminder that honestly, just because you're going after something that maybe you feel like God has told you about, just because you're going after something that's good, that has merit to it, that has good, you know, moral fortitude to it, it doesn't mean that, you know, obstacles, that difficulties, that challenges aren't going to come. But it's really all about how can you find the motivation to push forward when you hit that wall. You see, there's something that can only be produced in your life in the midst of challenges that it doesn't come any other way. And I know that wherever you are, you've all experienced those moments. That it's only through the challenge, it's only through that call from that doctor or that call from your boss or that conversation with a friend that you've been able to push forward in those challenges. This past week, I saw a really cool story about this guy. His name's Cliff. And, you know, Cliff, he was a high school state champion diver. And my brother was a diver growing up, you know, like diver, like Olympic diver. Like, that's what my brother did. I mean, he was training a couple times a week. I was in the diving well, just, you know, always there on the weekends. You know, swim meets, if you don't know, swim meets are a marathon. They last forever. And as like a 9-year-old kid, I hated it. But I know a little bit about diving because I've watched my brother do it for years. And I saw this story about a guy named Cliff. He's a high school state champion, a high school All-American. He was a Division I college scholarship athlete with Olympic dreams. And Cliff, he was on his way to potentially compete for a spot at the Olympics in 1996 in Atlanta. And then he had this obstacle, this challenge, this difficulty, and he had to adjust. Check out his story.
There's always more to you. There's always more to what you can do. You might see me walking down the road and think, wow, he's got it rough, but there's more. I've got a lot of great things. And so when you look beyond what's on the surface, there's always more. Dive symbolizes the culmination of a lot of work involves strength, beauty. You're not going to find a lot of beauty in what I do, but it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of emotion. That's all balled up into a little half second fall into the water. From where I came from, it's magical. It's thrilling. When you see my dive, what else can you do? What can you find in yourself? What can you find in others? When you look in the mirror, what else is there? What else do you have? What more can you bring out? Which is a little bit beyond what you think right now.
See, at 21, when he was in college at the University of Kentucky, just down the road, he started to lose feeling in his shoulder, started to, you know, realize his strength was kind of leaving just on the one side. And so had an MRI, and they found a 6.5-inch tumor on his spinal column. He had a 14-hour surgery, and they told him, you know, Cliff, you'll probably never walk again. We're just going to be honest with you. You're 21. It's not going to happen. You're going to be in this wheelchair for the rest of your life. And, you know, Cliff, he could have moped. And I don't think anyone would have blamed him. You know, he had dreams, he had visions, he had hopes for the future that in that moment were dashed. But Cliff, he went home to his hometown in New York, and he realized that his high school team didn't have a diving coach. So 2 years later, he started coaching his own high school from a wheelchair as he continued to push forward with his goal of trying to walk again. And then a couple years later, he found out about this job at RIT there in Rochester. And since then, he's been the college diving coach at this university. He's impacted the lives of hundreds of students. Hundreds, literally hundreds of students that have seen his story, been a part of his life, a part of his encouragement, a part of him pushing through the obstacles. He's been a part of the changing their lives. And we get to see him walking up the stairs on his birthday. Every single year he does that. A couple things I saw in that clip that really stuck out to me. He said, I always liked pushing myself, seeing what the next thing was that I could do. And I just got tired of them telling me that I'd never walk again. And so I got up. I mean, that's it right there. That's embracing the hurdles. That's not letting them define you or hold you back. That's continuing to push through. And then he also said this. He said, when you see my dive, what else can you do? What can you find in yourself, in others? When you look in the mirror, what else is there? What else do you have? What more can you bring out? What is a little bit beyond what you think just right now? And really, that's the challenge for all of us. And this is the third part, to finish the race, to run hard after joy, to embrace the hurdles, and to finish the race. Lean in. Let's finish this together. This is just the beginning of a race that lasts for the rest of your life. This is just the starting line of a race that has far bigger implications for the rest of your life. This is the start of something so much larger, so much harder than just 6 weeks. And you're right in the midst of it. My hope, though, is that this 49-day challenge can be a launching off point, can be the beginning of the steps that will take you into a new stratosphere, that we've given you the tools necessary to strengthen you for the race, to not just run the race, but to finish the race. There's a guy by the name of Abibi Bekele, and he was an Olympic marathon runner in the 60s, and he was 24 when he first started running, 24 when he first started. He was a shepherd before then. He lived in the country of Ethiopia, and he became an alternate on the Ethiopian team, and he was brought up just weeks before the Olympics in Rome because of an injury to one of his teammates. And they had a sponsorship. The team had a sponsorship for shoes and all these things, but they had run out of their allotment. And so they got to Rome, and Bekele decided, you know what? I'm going to run this race anyway. So he ran it barefoot. He ran it barefoot. And he didn't just run it barefoot, but he ran 26.2 miles through the August heat in Rome. I've been to Rome in the summer. It is hot, hot asphalt, hot pavement, 26.2 miles. And he won the Olympic gold barefoot, barefoot. And a reporter, they asked him afterwards, they said, what was the mindset? How did you get to that point? What marked you to do what you did? And Bekele, he said this. He said, I didn't get on that plane to just run a race. I got on that plane to finish a race. The writer of Hebrews, he says it like this. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Not your neighbor's race, not your coworker's race, not your brother-in-law's race, the race that's marked out for you. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. You see, when we started this 49-day challenge, we were surrounded by a bunch of unlikely starters, to be honest with you. Surrounded by people with different pasts than ours, different resources than ours, different stories of how they got to that place. And yet we're surrounded by them right there on the same starting line. And they ran the race and you ran the race. We started this challenge maybe because somebody invited you. Somebody said, you know what, if you do this, if you're a part of this journey with me, if you join my small group, I'll never have to ask you again. I'll never, never ask you again to come to anything at Crosspoint. Like, just join this one thing. I'm a part of a couple different groups. One of those is over in Westfield with some guys that not a single one of them outside of the host has ever seen a service at Crosspoint. Not one. I don't even honestly think they know that I'm a pastor here. I was with them last night. I don't think they have any idea if they watch this week. Hey guys, yeah, I'm actually one of the pastors here. That they are an unlikely group of starters. And yet they're finishing this race. They were a part of this prayer experience with me this past week, and the conversations were incredible. Maybe you started this challenge because you were in deep, deep pain, and you were looking for some relief, some hope. We've heard those stories. We know that you're in the midst of that. Maybe you started this because you wanted a deeper knowledge and a deeper understanding of Jesus. Maybe you just started this because you wanted to get stronger. You see, that's the mindset that we all need to have. To not just start something, but to be finishers. To not just start a marriage, but to finish a marriage. To not just start a business, but to bring it to fruition. To not just start raising kids and then send them off and let them figure it out on their own. No, but to encourage, to continue to equip and coach and challenge, to finish the race. To not just start with integrity, but let integrity mark the rest of your life. To finish with Jesus, not just start a conversation, but to finish, and to finish with joy. This is the opportunity that we all have to finish this race, to finish the opportunities before you. And so that's my challenge to you. Three things. That's my challenge to you. The very first thing, as we continue, as we wrap this up, as we bring this all to a close, you know, the challenges are over. Maybe you've gone ahead, you've looked at your deck, you've realized there was only five suits. That's right, there was only five suits. From here, you have the opportunity, you have the moments to really dig in and begin to make this your own. And so grab your cards this week. Do the challenges a little bit differently. You know, one of the ways that you can do it, we actually, in the cards, you can see it says after the next 7 weeks. And there's a couple of different ways you can go about this. Grab that card this week and begin to figure out how you can walk through these cards. One of the ways, and one of the cool ways you can do is you can grab one from every single suit. Just grab one card, five different suits, grab one from each one, and do those challenge cards this week. Or maybe this is my favorite one, because I have a friend named Seth. We called it Seth's Choice. We just picked a random name. I actually have a friend named Seth, but have a friend pick five cards for you to do during this week. So maybe that's how you're going to go about continuing to do these challenge cards. These challenge cards aren't over just because the 49 days are over. These are the launching off point. These are just the beginning of this next step of this journey. So grab a friend. Find a guy named Seth. I don't know. I mean, jump in. Be a part of these cards. Have a friend walk with you as you do this. Continue to meet with your home team. You know, your home team, you've been a part of some life-giving conversations. Make the decision now. Are you going to continue this on? We'll have small groups starting up again at the beginning of January. Decide with your group right now. Are you going to continue this home team? And then the last one is baptism. All right, baptism. Baptism is next weekend. We talked about it all day here. Baptism is next weekend, November 11th and 14th. And this could be your next step. This could be your mark in the sand moment. This could be your opportunity to say, you know what, Jesus, this is your life now. I'm going to trust you with my next step. And I don't know when you started following Jesus, whether it was just recently or it was a long time ago. And maybe you've seen baptism as just simply a gateway or a hurdle or just this hoop that you have to walk through. But baptism is so much more than that. It's dying to yourself. Really what baptism is, it's a surrender moment. Baptism is a moment where you're saying, you know what, Jesus, my life is yours. It's not my life anymore. I'm surrendering all the things that I thought I knew, that I thought I was capable of doing on my own, and I'm trusting you with it. This is a white flag. This is your line in the sand moment. This is your surrender moment. Following Jesus, being baptized, dying to yourself, and becoming really alive in Jesus. And so this week, do your challenges. Have your friend Seth pick out five challenge cards for you. Pick one from each suit and do your challenges. Make this a part of your weekly rhythm so that this isn't just a 6-week experience, but this is really a launching off point for the rest of your life. Choose to be a finisher. What we did for these 6 weeks is just the foundation for the rest of your life. So train hard, run hard, embrace the hurdles, but choose to finish. And so So we're going to sing this last song as a declaration that when it's hard, we're choosing joy. That when those obstacles come, we're going to trust and continue to push on. That we're going to have a heart of gratitude. That we're going to raise a hallelujah. Let's sing.